Samuel chapter number 7 for just a few moments tonight. 1 Samuel chapter number 7. And while you're turning, I want to say I appreciate all the singing. Appreciate our church family. I thank God for every family in this church and all the young people. Amen. The moms and dads. I tell you, I was thinking about that this afternoon. I appreciate the moms and dads that still want to bring their children to an old-fashioned church. Amen. And I realize tonight there's not anything good about us. We don't have a monopoly on God. And tonight, the Lord don't need us. We certainly need Him. Isn't that right? And there's not anything special about Bible Baptist Church outside the presence of God. But I do thank God for the families of this church. And I appreciate you just being faithful to the Lord and giving tithes and offerings to the Lord. And we don't do that for a preacher. Somebody say amen. And we don't worship a preacher. Amen. And we do it for the Lord. We don't worship a church. Amen. We don't worship a building. We don't worship the fact that we've been in a place a certain number of years. But if God doesn't pass by, as the songwriter said, all is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One cometh down. I remember years ago, and I've said it several times in the pulpit, and I'm not saying it because I don't remember it. I'm saying it because it bears repeating. But I heard a preacher years ago saying, after 40 years of pastoring, he retired from the pastorate, and he told his congregation, he said, if I have tied you to anyone or anything other than Christ, he said, then I have failed. Amen. And certainly that's who we need to be connected with tonight, is the Lord Jesus. Amen. And I love Him tonight. Don't you thank Him for Calvary. Hallelujah. 1 Samuel chapter 7, if you'll stand with us tonight. I'd like to read 4 verses of Scripture and pray, and we'll be brief in the message. Verse number 3, 1 Samuel chapter 7 and verse number 3. The Bible said, and Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, if you do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve Him only, and He will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. The children of Israel did put away Balaam and Ashtaroth, and serve the Lord only. And Samuel said, gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray for you unto the Lord. And they gathered together to Mizpah, and drew water, and poured it out before the Lord, and fasted on that day, and said there, we have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mizpah. Father, I pray tonight in Jesus' name, Lord, that for the next few moments you'd please help us and touch us. God, we need you tonight. We realize that without you, there's no preaching. God, I ask you to speak to our hearts. Give us something, Lord, that will challenge us and change us for eternity's sake. Give us something that will help us and strengthen us for another week to serve you and live for you in this world. And Father, tonight we look to you as the psalmist said, we lift our eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. We ask you now for a special touch, a special anointing. We'll thank you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated tonight. I want to just mention 1 Samuel chapter number 7 as a whole as we think about this chapter and where the nation of Israel is at. You'll notice the repentance that is mentioned in the first 6 verses of this chapter, because after 20 years of spiritual decline, Samuel leads the people to repentance. And certainly we will say more about that in just a moment. But the Israelites destroy their idols and they worship the Lord. And Samuel becomes Israel's judge. And then we see the resistance in verses 7 through 11. The Philistines, they attack the Israelites, but the Lord is going to thunder from heaven and confound them, and He's going to give the Israelites a great victory. Amen. He's going to do just what He promised He would do, and that is to help them to defeat the Philistines. And so there is this resistance. And then certainly in verse number 12, you'll notice the Bible said that Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shin and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, hitherto the Lord helped us. And that is what Ebenezer simply means. It means the stone of help. And so we see this rock here. And had it not been for the rock of ages, had it not been for the God of glory, Israel would not have defeated the Philistines. But God came to their defense, and God came to their rescue, and God helped Israel in a time of need. And certainly this chapter closes with Samuel as he mentions his routes from Bethel to Gilgal to Mizpah, and how that he judged in verse 16 Israel. in all those places. And the Bible talks about where he returned to and where he dwelt and how that he judged them the rest of the days of his life. And so Israel has revival in this chapter here. And I want to preach a few minutes tonight on this subject, on revival for our times. Amen. Revival for our times. You see, this text that we have read tonight, it proves and gives us a biblical account that God offers hope tonight to the individuals, the homes, and even the nation in having revival. That's what happens after 20 years of Israel not having the Ark of God, after 20 years of it being out of their possession. After all this time, you remember how that Eli, because of his own liberalism and because of allowing his sons and not restraining them, corruption takes place in the house of God, and God judged the nation because of the spiritual bankruptcy that was taking place in that day. And you know, I think tonight that God is more upset with the sinfulness of saints than what he is the sinfulness of sinners. Amen? Because judgment is in this land. When you think about all the disasters, the national disasters that's taking place across this country. I mean, on one side of this continent, he's tearing it up with tornadoes, and then there's hurricanes, and then there's blizzards, and then there's floods, and then there's wildfires, and God is trying to get the attention of people in this country. And I think judgment, the Bible says that judgment is going to begin at the house of God. Amen? You see, the moral decay tonight did not start in Washington, but it started in the house of God. It started, my friend, in the pulpits of America and in the pews of America. And tonight we can still have revival. Amen? What I'm saying to you tonight is that if Israel can have revival here in 1 Samuel chapter 7, you and I can have revival. Amen? As I mentioned this morning to our young people, I do not want you to lose hope in this hour. The God of the Bible is still the God of the revival. Amen? And the God of the 50s and the God of the 60s and the God of the 70s and the 80s and the 90s. My friend, he's still God tonight. Amen? And is that verse in 2 Chronicles 7:14, it still works, hallelujah, that if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land. I'm telling you, somebody said, well, that promise is to Israel. There's a whole lot of promises to Israel. But I tell you, I've rode on those promises and found them to be true. Amen. Jeremiah 33 and verse 3 is true, where he said, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not of. I'm telling you, God is more interested in 2024 in having revival than anybody else in this land. And if there's a crowd somewhere that'll look up toward heaven and say, Lord, if you'll come our way, if you'll pass our way, if you'll drop some handfuls of purpose over here, we're interested and we're willing to pay the price, then God is still willing to work and to move. Amen. And when I think about Israel having revival, I think about revival for our times today. There's a need for revival, and there's the neglect of revival. But here in our text, we find the nature of revival. For this chapter opens with repentance tonight. You cannot have revival without repentance. Amen. If I say to you tonight and you say to me, and more importantly, we say to God that we want revival, then the road to revival is a road, my friend, that is overlaid with repentance. Amen. We must keep short accounts with God. We must be honest before God. We must come clean before God. We must confess our sins before God. We cannot sweep them under the rug. We cannot, my friend, look upon the sins of others and ignore our own sins tonight. I'm telling you, if we have revival, we must do what 1 John 1 and verse 9 says, and that is confess our sins, knowing that he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. I wonder tonight in this sanctuary, as we bring it down closer to home, more importantly, not just the sanctuary, but to my own heart's door tonight, I wonder if we would ask God, search me, O God, and see if there be any wicked way in me tonight. It's so easy to see the wrongs and the sins of others. But it takes the Holy Ghost, an attitude of prayer, and the Word of God to reveal our sins to us tonight. There's not a one of us in this building that left to ourselves will go along life's way thinking sometimes so foolishly that I'm not so bad of a person. Though we would never say it with words, we say it with our life. But I thank God for all the times that men of God have preached and the Holy Ghost came to my pew. I thank God for all the times in prayer when praying for something else or someone else, God revealed to me my own shortcomings and failures. I thank God for the times in just daily Bible reading. You read over a verse or you read over a passage or a story and your heart is smitten because you see yourself in the scriptures. Would to God tonight if we have revival, we must see ourselves and we must die to ourselves. We must crucify ourselves. We must reckon ourselves to be dead. We must yield our instruments of righteousness to be used for the glory and the honor of God. We must be filled with the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit of God. We must walk in the Spirit. We must be filled with the Spirit. Amen. I'm telling you, the power of God is not within and of ourselves, but it is in Him tonight. Amen. When I come to this text tonight, we need to be wise and we need to be warned and we need to beware that tonight, if we don't have revival, our children and grandchildren don't have any hope whatsoever. I'm telling you, if you're looking for hope in the newspaper, you're looking in the wrong place. If you're looking on Fox News or any other kind of news today, you're looking in the wrong place. Hope does not lie in this world, but hope lies in this book tonight. The contemporary crowd will never offer hope. The hope that they offer is a false hope. Tonight, there are those that are more interested in our pocketbooks than they are prayer meetings. Amen. With their one week services and with their fog machines and with their skinny jeans and with their blacked out ceilings and their purple and blue and spooky lights and with their weird music that sounds like it ought to be in a bar, not a church house. It's not going to bring any lasting results. It's not going to save our children. It'll make them a two-fold child of hell. It'll send them to hell without any hope. It'll give them a counterfeit. I'll tell you what this generation needs is they need to stand, my friend, under old time conviction where the Holy Ghost reveals to them their need for Christ, their need for a Savior. They need to be in services where, listen, though He is not, nothing is said, but yet we know that somebody bigger than every one of us has showed up. They need more than an emotional stir, and you know I'm not against that, but what they need is something that will challenge their will and clean their conscience and give them something that'll be a conviction in their soul that'll help them to keep on serving God all of their days. Amen. It's revival for our times is what we need. And when I think about it, I think about the word from the prophet in verse 3. Notice the Bible said, and Samuel spake. I would say here tonight, as we think about the word from the prophet, we must notice the prophet tonight, because the purpose of the prophet, my friend, was to set up what had been upset in the nation. And Samuel comes in and he is going to deal with the issues at hand. And we need preachers today that will deal with the issues that are at hand. Men that will preach on sin, and not men that will do it with a bad or a bitter spirit. Not men that will do it with an arrogant spirit. But my friend, men that have been in a prayer closet somewhere and got a hold of God, humble men that realize that they cannot do anything. Samuel was a humble man of God. From the time he was a child, his mother taught him humility and she gave him to the Lord, and he served God growing up. And Samuel was a great prophet, because Samuel was never big in his own eyes, and Samuel was never about a name, and Samuel was never about fame. I'm telling you, self-promotion has eaten us up from the
pulpit to the pew when there's so much made about self and so little is made about Christ. I'm telling you, if we have revival, we can only see one person tonight, high and holy and lifted up before men, and that is the God of glory. Hallelujah. We cannot see each other tonight. From a psalm to a sermon to a testimony to whatever you want to say tonight. We must hide our flesh in order to see God. And I'm afraid that too many people today are more interested in people hearing them and seeing them than they are hearing Him and seeing Him. And Samuel was not that person. Samuel was going to be truthful. Samuel was going to tell the people in these texts tonight what they need. We need men of God that'll just be truthful. Amen. Where the men of God are not called to be performers or pulpiteers. They're not called, my friend, to be entertainers. There's too many men have got the wrong perspective in what the ministry is about. We're not called to be politicians. There's some men that puts their finger to the wind to see which direction it is blowing, where they're at. Those men will never be true men of God. But true men of God will take this old black back book, whether it's five people or 50 people, whether it's in a church house or whether it's on a street corner, it really doesn't matter. We've been called to preach the word of God. It's not about eloquency. It's not about, my friend, being in a place that looks wonderful or makes a man of God look good. It's about preaching that book and doing what thus saith the Lord and delivering God's message. It's about taking it to the streets and to the highways and the hedges. That's the kind of preaching we need in this hour. The word from the prophet, the possibility. Look at what he said. If you do return, there's a condition there. He said, if you repent. That's what repentance is. It's a turning from. We must choose. We must decide. Every person in this room, you and I have to decide where I'm going to be at with God. Am I going to surrender my life? Am I going to serve Him? Young people, you have to make that decision. Your parents may be making it partially for you right now, but there's going to come a day when you're going to step out and you're going to have to make your mind up which way. And I tell you, you don't wait till that day comes. You need to make your mind up right now while you're under the shelter and the safety of your parents, while you're in an old-fashioned church. I'm telling you, Daniel did not wait till he got to Babylon to figure out what he was going to do at the king's table when they put that portion of meat on it. Daniel had already, through the preaching of Ezekiel and Jeremiah, Daniel had already surrendered. He had already decided what he was going to do and what direction he was going in life. And you've got to make your mind up. And don't be so foolish. You think that you know better than your parents. Come see me after service. I won't even try to convince you which way to go. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll just give you a list of names. And you can call them and find out how their life's going. And you can determine if you want to go that way. Amen. I'm telling you, there's a good crowd of young people sitting around this church tonight. But for every one of you sitting here, there's been two that said, when I get old enough, that's the way I'm going. And I'm going to tell you something tonight. I won't even go into some of it. But I can tell you tonight, I could tell you, and there's people sitting in this church could verify the mess that they're in tonight. You want to go that way, help yourself. But I'll tell you something, there'll come a day you'll look back and wish you could get back in. Amen. Preacher, can I get right with God? Oh, sure you can, but it's further back than you think it is, friend. Oh, the prodigal came home, but it was a whole lot longer of a walk back than it was going out. He went out skipping, but he didn't come home that way. And when he got home, yes, there was a fatted calf. And yes, there was a party. And I remind you, he lost everything in the far country. That's all he had was a fatted calf and a robe and a ring and shoes. He lost everything down in that hog pen of sin. And I'm not preaching on that tonight, but I do want you to understand, if there's anybody sitting here that's sitting half in and half out and you're trying to figure out which way you to go, tonight is the crossroads of your life. And you better make a decision tonight. tonight. You say, well, I'm not going to decide tonight, preacher. Oh, yes, you're going to decide tonight, because heaven's going to record which way you're going to go in your heart. You're either going to repent and get right with God and say, I'm going to go all the way with God, lock, stock, and barrel. Or I tell you what you're going to do. You're going to snub this sermon and walk out them doors and go on like it's just another Sunday night. And you may forget about it before you get to the parking lot, but God will keep a clear record, friend. I'm here to tell you tonight, there have been a lot of times in my teenage years I made little decisions in a service like this, and I had no idea that it was a crossroad, a major crossroad in my life. It's a major crossroad. Where are you going to go? Where are you going? What are you going to do? Talking about revival for our times, the possibility, the purity. Look what Samuel said in this verse. He said, if you do return unto the Lord, notice this, with all your hearts. You know what God wants tonight? He wants all our hearts. I won't finish this sermon because I only want to say what's really in my heart tonight. I'll just unplug when I'm done. But I'm telling you tonight, I'm glad we cannot see each other's heart. Can you imagine if we could see everybody's heart tonight? I have trouble sometimes just getting past what people say. Anybody else like that? I don't read people's social media accounts. I'm going to tell you why I don't. I'd be preaching on everything every single Sunday. I just would. Now, you can call it what you will, but I just don't read very, very little. But I'll tell you what social media reveals. It reveals people's heart. And tonight, God said, if you're going to come back to me with all your heart. I think that's fair tonight, don't you? There's not a man in this room that, or a woman that you want your spouse to come home any less than that. You don't want half of their heart. You want all of it. And if you tied the knot, you owe that to them, to give them all of your heart tonight. And you should. And God said, if you serve me, if you return, Israel, I want you to mean it. I want it to be pure. I want it to be sincere. I don't want it to be about you. I want it to be about me. When you turn with all of your hearts, I wonder tonight, I know the heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? But tonight, that has to do with all of our will. Jesus said, where your heart is, there will your treasure be also. We can know where our heart is tonight. Our heart is in the things that we love. Our heart is given to the one. When you know where someone's heart is by what they talk about, who they talk about, how much time they're willing to invest, what it is that thrills them, what it is that brings joy to them, that's where their heart is. And God said the word from this prophet has to do with the purity, and that is that if you repent, if you come back, I want you to come back with all of your heart. And then there's the putting away. Notice what he said. Then put away the strange gods and Asherah from among you. We got a lot of gods in these day and time. We need to put away the gods. Idolatry and gods of this world and this nation has filtrated into our churches. A lot of times when the church oftentimes brings the world into the church house. Amen. I'm talking about, and you've heard it preached so many times and you know it's true, but isn't it a sad commentary that on a Sunday night in whatever January or February, they'll bring a screen in and cancel a service, or they'll have some kind of little weak devotion, and they'll just have, you know, some kind of, you know, little gathering, and they'll watch a football game on a Sunday night in the house of God. I would call that a our God, wouldn't you tonight, that when we've come that far, isn't it sad, as I mentioned this morning, when people will let that little God, that cell phone, as it was mentioned, can't even sit through an hour's service. And I understand, as I mentioned this morning, there may be people that, you know, you have someone that is sick and you have to keep your phone on ready. I'm not talking about that, but I'm talking about this society that we live here, all kinds of different things that people have allowed. And I'll tell you, if we have revival, this is what we have to do. This is what I have to do. It's what you have to do. I have to be willing to let go of anything and everything that would come between me and Him. You know, the putting away of idols is determined by what God says the idol is. In other words, when God puts His finger on something in my life and He says that needs to go, it should never be a question mark between me and Him. If God calls it to you, you would never know what that is, maybe, and I would never know what it is in your life. But I'll tell you, revival for our times, there has to be a putting away. There are people today that they want revival because, you know, they want to see the results of revival. They want to see their children saved. They want to see, you know, things have the results of revival, the good things happen. But I'll tell you, we got to be willing to pay the price. Isn't that right? And we're not Catholics. We don't do penance tonight. I'm not saying that God is up in heaven saying, if you'll pay enough penance, I'll do this, and God is holding out. No, God just wants a relationship that is real, a relationship that is true, a relationship where we're wholly sold out to Him. Will we falter and fail? Of course we will. Will we come up short? Yes, every day we'll come up short, but God wants us to put away those things that are hindering. I wonder tonight, what would it be in your life that is hindering you from just getting closer to God? What is it tonight that's got a hold on you? Maybe the preacher doesn't know anything about it. And maybe nobody else, maybe your spouse doesn't know what it is. Maybe your parents doesn't know what it is. But I'll tell you, whatever it is, I promise you this, the Holy Spirit's already brought it to your mind right now. If there is something in your life that's got such a hold on you, it may not be sin in of itself, but it's become an idol. You begin to love it more than what you're supposed to. God said, put that away. Put that away. And then notice the preparation. He said in this verse number 3, He said, prepare your hearts unto the Lord. You know, I was thinking about that today. That when you get up on Sunday and we make our way to church, what I get out of church on Sunday really depends on if I've prepared my heart. And I think it starts on Saturday. You know, everybody's got a different schedule. I get that. But I think, you know, for me, I like to be home. Personally, I like to be home by 6 o'clock on Saturday. And that's just me. I'm not telling you to do that. But I have found out if you'll just get home and just wind down a little bit from the errands of the day, and not go home and fill your mind full of all kinds of things on the internet and things on whatever it is, but go home and just spend a little time with your family, spend a little time in the Word of God, just get ready for church on Sunday. I know we don't hear much preaching about that, but I'm telling you, listen, you know, get your clothes ready on Saturday. You say, well, preacher, now you're preaching on that. Well, I'm trying to help you is what I'm trying to tell you. Get your clothes ready on Saturday. Whatever you got to do. I mean, get ready. Start preparing Saturday. Lay out some of those things so you're not flying through the house like Superman on Sunday morning. You got to get home and you say, well, preacher, it's the weekend. I know it is. Sunday, I know, is the first day of the week. The most important thing on what we call the weekend ought to be God's house. We prepare for those things. You know, take a little time and pray for the service, and pray for God's power on the services. Pray for souls. Pray for revival. Sit on the front porch with your family and talk about, you know, don't talk about everything. Don't talk about how terrible of a week you've had.
It ain't going to make you feel better for Sunday, I can tell you. And it's over with. You ought to be shouting anyway. Don't talk about every negative thing in life. You talk about, hey, tomorrow's church. Let your children know that on Saturday you're already thinking about Sunday. You're already getting ready for church, and talk about church a little bit and pray and listen. For heaven's sake, go to bed at a decent time. Amen. I mean, you might go to bed at 9 o'clock and get up at 2 o'clock, but at least you went to bed at a decent time. Amen. I mean, go to bed at a decent time. Don't sit up till 1 o'clock in the morning all bug-eyed out watching something. Amen. That doesn't even have any effect on eternity. And then you got to get up on Sunday morning at the last minute and come into church. No, I'm telling you, friend, if you really want to get something, if you really want to get help, prepare your heart, prepare yourself, pray and get ready and come to church ready. You know, that would make a world of difference, wouldn't it? Now, I know there's people here, no doubt, probably does that. But I also know there's probably people here. You don't ever think about it. Brother Gravely, I got such a busy, and I get that. I get that. I mean, I'm telling you. And my wife was talking the other day, it seems like when we're at home, I'm talking about literally at home, all we do is work. You ever notice that? Y'all like that? All you do, there's just something to be doing all the time. And it's never done. I get every bit of that. But I don't want to let all those things keep me from the best thing. Amen. I'm telling you, prepare your heart. There's been a lot of times God will start doing something in your life on Saturday. He'll do something in the life of your children on Saturday. Don't let them stay out all night. You know, start getting them ready for church on Saturday evening. Start talking to them. Have some spiritual conversation. Ask them about Sunday school. Ask them about, hey, what are you studying? What are y'all studying in Sunday school tomorrow? Start getting their minds going in that direction. Start thinking about it, the preparation. I really believe tonight that one of the greatest hindrances to revival is that the devil wants to fill our schedules so full that we just don't have time like we used to pray, to read, to meditate, to think. Amen. You know, Brother Lamar was teaching this morning about cell phones, and there was a little checklist there of, you know, things on it. And I found out something in that lesson this morning. I hate my cell phone. That's what I found out. Because there was a lot more no's than there was yeses. But I'll tell you, when you get out of the bed, and it's amazing when you get out of the bed in the morning how many emails and how many text messages, y'all know what I'm talking about, that just come through. Do you know what you got to do in the morning time? You got to just let all that stuff go. You got to get along with God. Amen. You got to go to work. I understand that. You said, Brother Gravity, I get up already. I know that. Maybe you're so tired you can't get up an hour early. I get all that. But you ought to get up 15 minutes early. Go in the bathroom. Shut the door. Don't even look at that phone. And get along with God. And say, Lord, help me to be the man I need to be today. Help me to be the dad, the husband. God, protect my children today as they go to work. And my wife, as she takes care of the home. And mother, you get up and you do that. And you young people, you listen to me. You start a prayer life. You start, if you hadn't already started it, you start tonight before you go to bed. You ask God to help you in the morning. You get up in the morning. I don't care. Hey, all you boys, maybe you already have one. I don't know. But you start in the morning. You get up. And but when you go to the restroom in the morning, you shut that door and you take just 5 minutes and get on your knees and talk to God for just a few minutes and see how much better God wants to do. Samuel was just a little boy when he heard the voice of God. He talked to him. He said, Brother Gravity, what are you saying? I tell you what's been in my heart all day, and really for a long time now. I don't want to see what's happened so many other places. Not really as much the church anymore. It used to be the church, but I don't want to see it happen to the families, the homes. I think it's a great thing that when all of y'all get grown and you get married, I think it's a great thing If you can walk right back through these doors and raise your family, your children, in the same church that your parents raised you in. I think it pleases the Lord, and I think it's a compliment to God, or a compliment to your parents, that you're carrying on and you're still raising your children. You're going to raise your children where they raised you. Amen. Now, all you girls, if you marry some guy outside of this church, I don't know what to say about all that. Other than just tell them this, that tell them we're like the mafia, that you marry in, but you don't marry out. I'm sure that's going to help you. Amen. But isn't it true tonight? Don't be like this. Don't, and I'm not saying you are, but don't have the attitude that, you know, when I get older, I'm going somewhere else. Amen. How old are you? 19 years old. And you've been here years since you was born almost. Is that right? Or so small you didn't know you was in this world. And you too. And you're still here 19 years later. And I'll tell you, isn't that a blessing tonight? Amen. Serving God. Working up there in the sound booth. Trying to help Thomas Black. And that is a ministry in and of itself, isn't it? But 19 years later, you're still here. And you're still here. And you're still here. And you're still here. Amen. And you need to stay here. Unless the Lord moves you somewhere else. Tonight, let's stand. I want to say tonight, we need revival. Well, we had a great revival meeting. But more than a meeting, we just need the spirit of revival to rest on our lives, in our homes, and in our lives. That's more than a meeting.